Monty Alexander at the piano with one of my favorites, Running Away, Bob Marley's Running Away. This is from Monty Alexander's 1999 album, Stir It Up, another hit by the great Bob Marley. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead. And just so that you understand what is happening here with me today, I'm surrounded by all manner of power washing machines. The entire complex is having its buildings power cleaned today. So there are all kinds of compressors and strange noises being made. But as usual, I think they usually have a meeting before these kinds of projects begin, and they say, where can we make the most noise? Who could we irritate more than anybody? We know, we go to Yatrice's house. So they started it right in front of my house today, and they're still at it. But I must commend them. They do a great job, and they're very almost fanatical about keeping the entire complex in good order. So if you hear a little noise creeping in, that's what it is. Okay? Well, thanks a lot. So in 54 days, the nation will elect a president. It could mean the re-election of Donald Trump, a Republican seeking a second term, as you know, or it could mean the election of Trump's main opponent, Joe Biden, who had served as vice president to President Barack Obama from 2009 to 2017. The winning candidate will usher in a new administration, even if, as could be the case with Trump, it continues from where the old one left off. But that will be, but what would be the people's expectations given where things stand now? Whether Trump or Biden, what will they want from their new president? That's where we're talking today. We're going to that point today. We know that one way or the other, it's going to be one of two people. It's going to be Joe Biden, or it's going to be Donald Trump at the helm again. But what will be the expectations of the people this time around? And that's, we only have, 54 days to wait to see how that goes. People are predicting that if Trump loses, he's not going to give up too soon. He's not going to give up that easily. And we know that Hillary Clinton has advised Joe Biden to do exactly the same. If Biden loses, under no circumstances should he concede the election, she has warned Biden. But that has nothing to do with our topic today. Our topic today is, what are we thinking? What are people thinking? What do people want as the outcome of this election? Will they get it? Or would some new intrigue set in and take us further down the road, more intrigue? It's a very intriguing proposition, this election business. What are people thinking? Is there going to be a change, quote unquote? And if so, from what to what? In the case of President, I don't even like to say the name, to be very honest, President Trump. And in the case of Biden, from what to what? He was vice president, close enough, but he has given us a window and opened a little window into what his thinking is like. But we don't know what is likely to happen, whether they will change their minds about something, whether they would develop a whole new approach so as to keep their supporters close, whether there would be, in fact, a big conflagration, some major development in which the business, the people's business, will not be tended to for a while the bickering continues. But for us today, we want to discuss what is likely to be a change, no matter who wins, or no matter who is certified as winning. What are we to expect from a process this cantankerous? What are we expecting to come out of this that has to do with our collective interests, if anything? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what you're thinking. You see and you know what's been going on. It's going to get worse as the election nears. But everybody is talking about everything except what people are thinking and what they want to happen. This is a time for us to bring that subject up. What, either way, whoever wins or whoever is certified as the winner of this ridiculous election, what is it that we are expecting? Will you get what you're expecting? Or would you get much worse? Benji from New York, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Yatrice. Good afternoon. This is Benji. Yeah, what I would like to see is not a repeat of what happened in the year 2000, because if it's gonna go to the Supreme Court, it's gonna happen again. It's gonna be a 5-4 decision again against Biden. So I would like to see a clear-cut winner. It'd be painful if Trump wins, but I'd rather him win clean-cut, or Biden wins clean-cut, than when it has to go to Supreme Court. I think it's torturous.
All right, but besides the matter of who will win, what are your personal expectations about this
Of what
race?
the outcome will be? Very. I have this funny feeling that Trump will win. Yeah.
Yes, but let's move aside from that for a moment. Somebody's
Yes.
got to win, and we know
Yes.
it's one of two people. But
Yes.
aside from who will win, what are your specific concerns, and what are you hoping would come out of this election?
Unless it's a clear cut, unless it's clear cut winners on either side, it's not going to be good. It's going to be a bitter. I mean the hanging chads. I mean just the memory of what happened in the year 2000. The hanging chads. It was terrible, and it wasn't good. So I personally would like this should be a clear cut winner as soon as
All right, we
possible. I
got
mean that.
that. You said that. We understand that.
Yeah,
That's your view. I'm
yeah.
looking for you to articulate from your personal point of view and from your own political concerns, what do you want to come out of the election, regardless of who wins? in terms of what, you know, as a collective, what should the people expect?
Well, I would like, we stressed on Friday, what are we prepared to do? What am I prepared to do? What I'm prepared to do, and what I hope collectively we're prepared to do, is to heal the country and to unify on some spiritual energy. I think what's lacking in this campaign is some spiritual energy, some love, some, I don't know, some Dr. King. I mean, I think that's the problem. We've become so mechanical. You know, Biden is robotic. And Trump is crazy, as you always said. Every day we're dealing with another mental health issue. I mean, he's admitting to Bob Woodward, you don't say these things. You know, that's why he has a mental illness. Listen, he's entitled to have whatever opinion he has, right, wrong, or indifferent. But that you say it, that's his mental illness. So I'd like to see us come together. We, the American people, come together. You know, like what's going on in Portland. Okay, you have the left and you have the right. You have the left wing, you have Antifa, and you this and that. I'm okay with protesting on both sides. Fight, don't kill each other. But after that, make a party, make a barbecue. There should be enough to unite us. There's enough to unite us than to divide us. So that's what I would like
all
to
right.
see.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Thanks so
thank
much
you. Okay.
for getting us started today. Jackie from Brooklyn, what do you think might happen, no matter who wins?
Good afternoon.
We know that one of the two might win, will win, okay? But with regard to what we've been discussing in terms of what is it that the people want, what they seem to want, what they've been articulating, will that be part of the equation, you think, come election day?
Okay, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good afternoon to you and the listening family. Okay,
thank
first
you.
Of all, no matter who wins, what's happened in the last 4 years has to be addressed. That's number one. Number two, you also are still dealing with the division in the Congress and the Senate, the House of Representatives and the Senate. So those races are going to have an impact on what the president, whoever the president may be, can get done. But I personally am concerned about health care, public benefits, housing. This whole issue of people being evicted now, which will impact voter suppression in the future. And there's so many things. But just to begin, I think we need to restore care and trust in elected officials' word. This latest thing with the pandemic and so many people dying. So there's a lot of work that has to be done. So no matter who gets in office, these issues have to be addressed. So now, depending on who wins, we'll see how those issues are going to be addressed.
And if you're not satisfied, then what?
Well, going back to my earlier comments earlier this week, it still requires continued community organization, continued understanding the issues that, and continued pressure on our elected officials. Because, you know, people just go to their everyday business, okay, well, my congressperson, my councilperson, my state assembly person, whatever, that's their job to address it. That was true in the past, but now we see that that's no longer true. So every person has an obligation to be informed, intelligent, and to be active on whatever level. We can't just entrust our very lives to people who are not interested in protecting us.
But let me ask you this, just to challenge you a little. What indication do you have that the people would be listened to? Having come through such a rancorous election, pre-election, I should say, period. We've seen very ugly things. We've seen in the incumbent president stuff that we never, ever would have associated with the presidency in terms of his personal conduct and behavior. We see from Biden a kind of lackluster campaign. Does he have the energy to proceed? Does he have the confidence of the people to back him up? And we don't know what they are likely to do. We have no idea where they're going.
Well, I agree in part, but also the reality is no matter who wins, there's certain things that must be addressed, like the current pandemic. That has to be addressed, no matter who gets in the office, because people are still dying. The American on the base level is practically bankrupt. Nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about the stock market. But what about all the thousands of people who, after this moratorium on rent is lifted, will be evicted? And all these businesses that are closing? And I mean, they don't want to say, hey, we're on the eve of a depression, because everybody wants to make it look rosy. But the point is that these things are immediate pressing problems. So the people have to decide, you know, who can best address the immediate pressing problems, not what they say in their little news briefings, but what's actually going on in your own neighborhood, in your own families, in your own personal life. Are you able to pay your rent? Are you able to pay your mortgage? Are you able to buy food? These are the things that people have to be aware of. And again, I said, put the pressure on the elected officials. But you can't put pressure on elected officials if you don't really know what the issues are. You just go by what they're saying on the 6 o'clock news.
Do you have enough confidence that the apparatus of government will change to accommodate what people are thinking and feeling?
No, I don't have confidence. And this latest disclosure about the pandemic is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I don't have confidence in that. But I think originally, the way the original Constitution and certain laws was written for the purpose of holding elected officials accountable. And people don't exercise that. But it's going to take years. This is not something, whomever wins, it's not going to change in 6 months. This is going to take years of trying to clean up and correct and, you know, upright the republic and get it back on track. Because this is a, you know, the very fact that you don't hear anything from the so-called elected officials from the other parties. Do we hear them challenging the kinds of things that the current president is doing? No. I mean, why don't they challenge that? Why don't they bring lawsuits? Why don't they challenge, you know, this whole thing with the post office and having hearings? The time you have a hearing and then get a decision on the hearing, you know, the election will be over. People's ballots will either not be counted or lost or whatever. I mean, some of these things are like emergencies, and they should be addressed as emergencies. But you don't hear them saying anything. They're on television saying, oh, we got to get the Republican senators out and put the Democratic senators in. But what does that have to do with addressing the current emergency issues? These are life and death issues. So I don't know, you know, why people don't see that, or maybe they feel they don't know how to address it, or they don't know where to go to address it, or maybe people are just so overwhelmed with their own personal problems they don't have the energy anymore.
I think you just hit on it. People are overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed because when they consider they have to take care of their specific immediate situation.
That's right.
And then turn their attention to a very sick system.
That's right.
They don't see that they have even the energy to do it.
They don't have the energy, and a lot of them don't know where to start, where to go, where to start. There's no leadership to help people understand, you know. And people are just trying to survive at this point. And no matter who gets
thank
in,
you.
It's going to take... Okay, have a wonderful day.
No, thank you for calling in. Ed from Jamaica, what are your thoughts? No matter who gets elected.
Hey, good afternoon, Patrice. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Well, like I always say, me and my sons.
You and your sons.
Me and my sons. Pertaining to your question, I could tell you what I would like to see happen. I could tell you what, based on my experience and limited knowledge of politics, what is probably going to happen, because no one can predict its future. What I would like to see happen is a grassroots movement to develop some type of outside political, economic, social force that eventually will overthrow the system, because the system is beyond repair. I see a lot of lights of that coming out with the Occupy movement, with the Black Lives Matter movement, with other affiliated movements that are manifesting in New York, and especially in Queens, some things I'm involved with. They've got potential, but it takes time. Like Kwame Ture said, organize, organize, agitate, and organize. And the agitation and organizing is going on now. Based on my lack of optimism and pragmatism, we're going to get business as usual. The country's in a terrific amount of debt. There are millions of people that are unemployed. We still have a raging pandemic. To be totally honest with you, nobody knows what this virus is doing. Quite frankly, it's mutated beyond what it was 6 months ago. And we don't know what we're going to see in the upcoming winter with the changes of weather, with the amount of homeless people on the streets, and with the common cold and other viruses and infections that pop up during this time of year, to combine without any type of adequate health care, without any type of free medical treatment, without any type of support from this government. So, I mean, it doesn't look good. It looks very grim to whoever wins, because on the Biden side, he said himself, things are not going to change much. And on the Trump side, you're basically dealing with an insane individual, narcissistic, egoist, who, quite frankly, if he does get a second term, I think he might even try to change the Constitution and push for a third. And with the report from Homeland Security, what people miss about that is they're not talking about white supremacy in the sense that we talk about it. They're talking about white supremacist groups. The greatest terrorist attack that was on this country prior to 9/11 was Timothy McVeigh and the Mural Federal Building, and he killed several hundred thousand people there. So that was the greatest domestic terrorist attack up until 9/11, and they were the white supremacist groups were a threat then. They're emboldened by this man and they're empowered by this man, and if he does get another term, he could rally his brown shirts and, you know, cause another civil war in this country, which is not entirely unplausible. So, like I said, what I'd like to see, but what I think we're going to see is not going to be very good.
So, what would have become then of what people have been hoping for?
Well, I mean,
based on the scenario you just laid out.
Well, I mean, what we can hope for is it's going to have to be a hyper-local movement. It's going to have to be in towns and cities and communities. We're going to have to re-understand what it means to have a community. We're going to have to re-understand personal responsibility. And we're going to have to understand basically that we're all connected and that what is good for me is good for you. And, you know, we can have cogent, sentient debates as far as how we approach the situation, but the common factor has got to be, what are we going to do to make our lives better? How are we going to have the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that this fake constitution allegedly was supposed to provide? That's
And how are you going to have the power to back that up?
So it took years of apathy, of lack of vigilance, of lack of concern, of egoism to get where we're at now. And it's going to be the standard is low. I mean, the bar standard is at the bottom of the ocean, and that's low. And we got to, it's going to be a slow climb bringing it back up.
Do you think there's a possibility that it will happen? We've seen what has happened with the progressive movement. I asked somebody the other day, is it still alive? Or is it dead? We can lay out the best plans, but we don't seem to have an answer about how do we attain and keep power in order to back up the demands that we expect to make.
Right now, the progressive movement is fractionated. I mean, it's separated. There are a lot of different fronts, in my opinion, and there are a lot of different objectives. We've got to come under a common tent, kind of like what Jesse Jackson did with the Rainbow Coalition back in the 1980s. We've got to find a commonality with these movements, and I think it's going to be on a local level. I think it's going to be, there's not going to be one dynamic personality that unites everyone. I think it's going to be the common need, the pressure bus pipe, and the pressure is coming. We've got, once this election is over, we've got, this country is on the verge of a Great Depression. I mean, there are millions of people out of work. The average rent in Manhattan, in New York City, in Manhattan, in Brooklyn, is over $4,200 a month. That's a mortgage. That's two mortgages, as a matter of fact. I mean, and people don't have work. And we still got this. We still don't know what's going to happen with this virus, whether it mutates and changes into something completely different, whether it manifests itself. It's all new. It's all novel. So, you know, it's time to hunker down and take care of what's around you and focus on what's around you and what you can do in your community, what you can do in your circle, and hopefully that'll germinate and grow. But it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take vigilance.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, thank you so much for contributing today. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Nutrice, and to your audience.
I just basically
think it's going to be business as usual. I think if Trump wins, he'll continue to destroy the country. If Biden wins, he'll basically do little or nothing. Maybe he'll be able to put the country in a better position in regards to civility. But other than that, nothing's basically going to change. I mean, things are just going to continue to go in a fashion to where as America will do nothing but fall. I mean, it seems as though nothing is going to get better under these conditions. I mean, economically and everything. I mean, it's just a, as one should be honest and say, it's just a disaster right now. I mean, the economy is probably going to be worse next year than it is today. And we're just in a situation where how do you move forward? How are people going to move forward when you're dealing with what we're dealing with in this country? You know, you have the loss of jobs, you have the loss of industries that no one's really talking about. You know, if you look in New York City, the restaurant industry is totally destroyed. What type of recovery are you going to have for the theater industry? If you think about it, it's just so many things at play that, you know, we're really in a lot of ways not looking at, and we're not seeing how is it going to move forward. So, you know, one would hope that it will move forward, but one doesn't know if it will. I mean,
but based
you know,
on
it's
based on
tragic.
What we witnessed in the last year, do you think it would be an easy thing to, as you say, move forward based on what we have witnessed for this past year and the mentality of some of the candidates running and where they stand and what we suspect, we strongly suspect, is really their intent. And it is incompatible with working together. It is incompatible with joining forces. It's incompatible with healing wounds. It's quite the opposite end of the spectrum.
Well, it doesn't seem that there's any real leadership in regards to moving forward, because you have people like Mitch McConnell who basically doesn't allow the necessary things for the country to move forward to happen. I mean, the manner in which he governs and the manner in which he allows legislation to move forward in the country, nothing never gets done. So, I mean, what should one expect if Joe Biden gets into office and Mitch McConnell is still the head of the Senate? I mean, you know, nothing's going to happen. And the sad thing is, there's going to be but so much that Biden's going to be able to do with executive orders and things of that nature. The Congress is not going to be able to do but so much. I mean, look at what's going on right now with the whole bill to deal with unemployment and the other things that are affecting the people in this country in regards to the loss of their jobs and things of that nature. I mean, you know, nothing could happen because of Mitch McConnell. He won't allow no bills to go through. And I mean, think about it. Donald Trump is the president. So, I mean, if he can't get things to happen with Trump as the president, what in God's earth is going to happen if Joe Biden becomes the president? Then what happens? Then what becomes of legislation? So, I mean, we're just in a situation to where it's not going to get better. I mean, they're not going to do the basic things to try to improve the economy, to make the economy better, if it's going to benefit everyday people. We're not even talking about poor people. There's never even a discussion about poor people. I'm just talking about everyday people, aka the middle class. I mean, the middle class in this pandemic is being decimated, and people don't even understand it and really don't see it. Depending on what industry you're involved in determines the direction of your employment. So whereby you have a situation that's even far greater is the dumbing down and the lack of improvement educationally of our children. I mean, this is really madness. You got a generation of children that's going to be affected by this pandemic because of what's happening with the educational system that we never, ever, ever may recover from. And the sad thing is, and I have to put myself in this equation, people like me and you and others who know these things are not going out there and setting up systems in place to help these parents and to help these kids in regards to educating their children. So now there's going to be a lost generation of children. Man, we in trouble in this country.
Yes, we are. But it is still something that we have to do, something that we cannot just throw up our hands and say, well, you know, let's consider this fight lost.
No, I don't think the fight is lost. I don't think the fight is lost. What is lost is the direction of people like me and myself
to be in a position to galvanize those that can do better. That's really what lost. We're not out here doing the necessary things to galvanize and help the people. Unfortunately, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because of our circumstances. Maybe it's because of our age. Maybe it's because we just don't have it no more. I don't know. I can't tell you. All I can do myself is just talk to young people. That's all I'm
well,
doing.
We have a lot to
talking
work
to them
to
and
do.
Their parents. Oh, we got
a lot of work.
We
to
got
do.
More
Thank
work
you.
Than we realize.
Thanks for calling in. Thank
have
you
a good
very
day.
Much. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, I've been thinking about this, and to your question, I will say that whether it's Trump or Biden, it's business as usual. And by that, I mean that since this settler colonial nation was made after the ethnic cleansing and genocide of the indigenous people and the kidnapping and enslaving of African people. It was formed after the British Empire was thinking about freeing the slaves, and the ruling classes in this country did not want that to happen, so they started a revolution and made a constitution. Most of the people who made the constitution were ruling class slave-owning people. Now, when they made this, they were very shrewd, and they made it so, as I see it, that the ruling class, in spite of the mechanisms of the constitution, would always be in charge. And that's exactly how it has turned out. The ruling class, no matter whether you have phony elections like we have here, and the idea of democracy, which we really don't have, the whole place is run by the ruling class. Now, people have been talking about the Congress, the House of Representatives, the Senate, and whatnot. But people have to get it that the people aren't the constituents of that body. The constituents of that body are the ones at the ruling class at the top. They are the constituents of those people who are sitting in Congress, who are getting those campaign contributions in Senate or House of Representatives. And they are the ones going to be satisfied. Now, we have all this machinery about elections, but we have to think. We don't have parties here. We have a one-party state with two divisions. That's it. That's all we have. And no matter whether it's Trump or Biden that wins, the people lose. This country, the United States of America, is not designed to benefit the masses of people who live here. We got to get it. There's no way that those in power at the top, and that's the ruling class, the oligarchs and plutocrats at the top who run the place, who own the corporations and the richest people, are going to just voluntarily do things that are for the benefit of the masses of people. It's not going to happen. The only way they're going to really make any positive changes for what people want and need in terms of their health care and their economic viability and all the things that the people would benefit the people is if the ruling class sees that there's on the horizon some kind of revolution or rebellion. So to ask what's going to change, nothing is going to change unless they see that, and then they may get out the bones and throw them out like they did during the Roosevelt era, and at the right time, take them back. So the idea that you're going to vote for one or the other of these two slugs that are running for president, the only viable candidates, as things are going to change and get better and all that, and talk to the Congress and all that, that it, to me is, you know, wishful thinking. You can't just talk to the Congress doesn't work for the people. The Congress works to maintain the people at the very top, the corporations. They work for them, not for you and me. So that is the way I see it. So it's a matter of getting those at the top, the ruling elite, to think that the people are going to rebel in some way, for them to give up the social and economic benefits that benefit the people. But it's very hard. It's very hard. And people don't get it. And the ruling class is brilliant in the way they're able to divide people up. That's where the white supremacy racism was started. And that's where all the ways that they have of getting people divided by gender, by ethnicity, by so-called race that doesn't really exist, and that has to do with their phenotype of different people. So you play one phenotype against the other, and you know, you've got all kinds of ways that you can divide people up. So the point is that people have to get to the point where you scare these people at the top enough, and they think there's going to be a rebellion, and that's the only way they will give up anything. They don't care if the people are poor. They don't care if people are hungry. They don't care about so-called education, which is not education they give. It's training. They don't want to educate you, empower you. They want to train you. They can't teach you history, the real history in these schools. They're not going to do it. So we have to get to that level where we see that this is a totally corrupt system that exists. The mission, that is to enrich those at the top at the expense of all the people below. And that's what they're doing, that 1%. That's their goal, to enrich themselves even more, and they don't care anything about those people at the bottom at all.
Okay. Well said. Well said. Thank you. Daryl from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrice. How are you?
Okay.
Having listened to 45 minutes of doom and gloom, let me see if I can...
Come closer to your phone, because you're getting an echo.
Oh, let me step out of where I am. I was in the singing room. Is that better?
Yes, but speak directly into your phone.
I'm speaking. Is that better?
Yes, much better.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say people should listen to Ellen Brown to get a better idea of it's a program on 2 hours after you on Wednesdays, and to get a better idea of how the economy works. The reason that, quote unquote, the people who are in power, or the Wall Street millions, or whatever you want to call them, are doing just fine, is because the government is supporting them. Now, our job is to get the government to support us, since, quote unquote, we've surrendered our sovereignty to form the government. So at point, one needs to educate oneself as to what exactly is happening right now. One needs to look at the opportunities, because you have a better chance of overthrowing the government that's currently in place than you ever had in recent history because of the unrest, especially the economic situation. Two, if Mitch McConnell is a problem, he's up for election this year. How much money have you sent to his opponent? I know that Mitch McConnell has gotten almost 200 judges approved by the Senate that we're going to have to deal with for a very, very long time. And since one of the ways in which people who were out of power used to get some semblance of justice in this country was through the judicial system, that's gone. They packed that already. So what is our alternative? One, we turn to our neighbors and say, did you know? You go to Good Search, put PRN or WBAI in as your charity of choice. They get the penny. Google does not. And you say, this is how it's working now. You have banks balancing their budgets. Every day, bank has to have a balanced budget off of your money that you produce, that through the Federal Reserve is being lent to the tune of about $1 trillion a day to the various banks around the world to keep the system moving along. I don't know if you follow the Dow Jones. If you do,
yes,
there's no problem there. So if there's no problem there, why is there a problem down here? You want to save your local restaurant? First, go to your council person if you're in a city that has that structure. Go to your congressperson, go to your senators, and demand they send them checks. Just like they sent you the $1,200 check, they could send that business a $1,200 check or whatever they needed in order to sustain themselves through this particular period of unease or disruption. The same way they shut this place down without a shot, you could walk down Fifth Avenue and you'd be the only one there, like Harry Belafonte many, many years ago in a movie. They can bring it back. It has to do with what the people make demands on the system. It has little to do with reflecting on what we're failing to do. And so if there's blood in the street, then it needs to be your blood. But it needs to be running for a reason. It needs to be running so that you can change for your children. In New York State, there was $7 million allotted out of the emergency funds to the school system. You know what wonderful Governor Cuomo did? He failed to put the $7 million in that the state was supposed to put in. Same thing that they do with the lottery. So there is, unless you get the information, then it's really hard to operate. And if you keep looking at the doom and gloom, then you think that you can operate, when in fact, we are the engine in the machine. Withhold your labor. It's challenging to do it by yourself, but what's interesting about what happened in sports, hockey, come on, hockey went out on strike for 2 days because Naomi Osaka and the NBA and then Major League Baseball said, well, you need to be focusing on something else right now. If, in fact, this disease is as bad as they say it is, why are we getting so few facts without context? How many people died this time last year as compared to who died this time this year? If you got comorbidities, who's addressing that? Who's talking about immune systems? And quote, they're always talking about personal responsibility. Well, help us. What do we need to be eating? What do we need to be taking in order to build ourselves up so that we're healthy rather than sick? You want health care for everybody? I don't want health insurance. I don't need health insurance. What I need is health care. We need to speak directly to what we need rather than what we're told we need. So, bringing it all together, we can do this if we do the research, get off our dust, talk to our neighbors, and share the information. Tons of quality websites and information out there that needs to be shared on stations such as PRN.
But you know, there is another side to this. I mean, you're presenting a very encouraging picture, and in many ways, it is doable. if people band together with a shared interest and work toward a shared outcome. However, aren't you being a little naive about what happens when the people come up against a system that has worked out all the details of how to frustrate you, how to make you lose, how to make them win? This is where we are. We should not imagine that a Donald Trump and the system that produced him and the system that he has now maintained under his watch will allow itself and himself to be vanquished by the people. It's just not going to happen. If it is going to happen, it will happen when there is out-and-out warfare. This is not where this whole business of governance is going. This is a fight to the death, because we're talking about money. You talked about the, and as did David, you correctly referenced the fact that you have people at the top who, because of the way things are structured, have an inordinate share of control, and they can dictate what happens to the rest of the people. We can't call on anybody. We don't have people who will stand in our corner. Not to that degree. So I ask, aren't you being a little bit, what should I say?
Naive, Pollyannish.
Naive is a good word.
Do Pollyanna. I like Pollyanna better. Come on.
But aren't you being a little bit naive about...
How long is COINTELPRO going to last? Right? How long? You got 15 national security agencies that are out to do nothing but maintain power for the rich and famous. Until we decide to, once again, you have to talk to your neighbors. They have to be willing to die as long as you have to be willing to die, if that's what you want. Because the people who are getting theirs now, they worked and they toiled for, let me see, if you go from the 40s, they, actually the 30s, If you look at from the 30s up until the mid 60s, late 60s, they toiled and organized and got their act together. Mitch McConnell has been waiting to appoint those judges for 60 years. Not 60, 50, 50 years. And he's finally gotten it. And how did he get it? He did it the old-fashioned way. He cheated. He stole. He rigged elections. Remember Tom DeLay? Remember the last census in 2010, in which people failed to participate? And who got screwed? The people got screwed. Why? Because they didn't know the importance. We still don't know the importance. The most important thing, and I hate to disagree with Mr. Noll on this, is we need to get counted at least. And what are they doing? They announced, 2 months ago that they were cutting short the census, the time to do the census, because they could. And so they did. So they're going to end up in October rather than when it's supposed to end up. Who knows that? I don't know that unless I'm listening. So what I'm saying to you is that COINTELPRO, the only way COINTELPRO ends is when we decide that it ends. And how do you do that? You take control of what you can take control of. At this point, what I have control over is my decisions. Do I shop with them? Do I bank with them? Do I get my friends to get out of Citibank and Chase Bank and into something different? Do I make them aware that the capital that the Federal Reserve is printing to keep the stock market and to keep the world economy moving along is my money? That's my money. Why is it my money? Because my labor produced it. That's it. So when you take control of yourself.
I appreciate, I'm not saying that you off the mark here. I'm saying you're making sense, but I'm wondering, where does the rubber meet the road from what it is you're talking about, from the theory to the practical?
Okay, so it can either be...
We've run out of time. So, but
I know.
Tomorrow,
it can either be Pinochet or it could be Mandela. You got it.
Tomorrow, we have Free Your Mind Friday. So if you wish, you can continue your point tomorrow, because it's a very important point. We have dodged the bullet so many times because we really are reluctant to take charge of the decision as to how do we go forward? What do we do with the resources that we have? What resources do we have? And how do we equitably distribute these resources so that everybody is helped up? I mean, these are big picture items, but we have to start looking at them and talking about them as doable. And the only way we can do that is by exchanging opinions and ideas. So Daryl, you are invited to return tomorrow to finish up what you laid out so far. We have a lot of discussion to do, but I'm also concerned about the here and now, not the far end of the field, but the here and now, where we stand. Because as I said in the beginning, we have 53 days before we have a new person at the helm, or maybe not. Maybe we have the same old person at the helm who is going to be twice as vengeful, twice as incompetent, twice as mean-spirited, twice as racist. And we will have to find a way out in any event. So we might as well start the thinking now. Thank you all for contributing today. And I thank you always for putting forward your best effort, because it elevates the level of our conversation. It informs us, enlightens us. And this is how we begin to effect change, by sharing information. And I always look to regular people, ordinary people, as the true geniuses of our future. You know, you've been through a lot, and so you have a lot to contribute, and the best way to do it is to engage with each other. So we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see each other tomorrow on Free Your Mind Friday, and thank you so much for contributing today. Bye-bye.